Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Last month, I had some free time and I actually decided to convert CreditR into Python, including some functionalities to develop credit risk scorecard, a PD model, basic data analysis, and to determine which futures is going to be passed to the predictive model. It also generates an automated model framework that is actually searching for the best predictive model across the different feature sets that potentially can be used during the model development.
Python is a genus of constricting snakes, native to tropical and subtropical regions of Asia and Africa, and if you're in the same corners of the Instagram algorithm as I am, found in Florida too, where they're the top target of the barefooted yoink guy. When I lived in Hong Kong, I always wanted to see a Burmese python in the wild. Alas, the closest I got was seeing a neighborhood Facebook post showing one slipping into Henry Chamberlain's unattended garden. But Python is also a high-level general-purpose programming language. First released in 1991, it has really come to prominence in the machine learning community. And I'm claiming, based on gut feel and a single response from Google, is now the official coding language of modern data science. Welcome to How to Lend Money to Strangers with Brendan LaGrange. Ian Dish, quant professional, welcome to the show. Ian, I copied your LinkedIn headline, and on one level, quant professional, it doesn't seem to do enough to display the wonderful array of skills that you bring. But on another level, it really does capture very well that career of yours. So before we get too deep into the real topic of today, which is credit pie, let's start by taking a step back. And if you don't mind, talking to me a little bit about your route into data science and from there into credit risk.
I was studying economics during my bachelor's, and actually I was working for an intern in the budget and reporting area, and I met with a guy who is doing a boutique consultancy, and he told that you might have a future in data science if you want to work together with me. We had a good coffee. And afterwards, I actually mainly focused on developing my capabilities in data science area and also credit risk.
Yeah, now our main topic for discussion today is the recently launched CreditPie, which simplifies tasks such as variable analysis, model development, and calibration and validation with unparalleled efficiency. Now, there's a segment of my audience that really loves these deep technical discussions. I certainly get more LinkedIn messages and connection requests after them than after any other topic. But I feel a little trepidation because these days my hands are soft and uncalloused by any hard modeling work. So I'm stepping a little beyond my comfort zone. I started in credit risk analytics in 2002, just as the bank was realizing that Access databases probably weren't good enough anymore. And we were learning SQL. And if you were a scorecard builder, SAS as well. A few years later, I changed roles and for the first time got to work with a drag-and-drop SQL assistant and a one-click CHAdE analysis-type decision tree builder in SAS. My peak in terms of technical know-how. A year or two after that is when I first heard of R. I was managing a team, and for the first time ever, we were recruiting graduates who had studied credit risk analytics, and they had been trained on R because it was free. We used to train it out of them. The first few months being spent teaching them how to code in SAS instead. 10 years later or so, by which time I was living in Hong Kong, we did the reverse exercise where we trained all our SAS analysts how to do R and gave up the expensive licenses. But really the point here being that I've lost track with what the state of the art is in terms of credit modeling. So let's start with a little history lesson. I know that credit pi is underpinned by credit R. So let's start there at the beginning. What was credit R and what happened that made you decide you needed to update it with a credit pi?
Actually, 5 years ago, I was working on a project related to credit risk model validation, where the need was to validate around 70 different predictive models. And at that project, we were using a commercial license tool, which was not allowing to do us parallel processing. And credit R was an answer to that need. And I started to develop all the functions to validate a model in a proper way. And after developing it, I also decided to publish it on GitHub. And it has been welcomed by the credit risk professionals. I actually saw that many companies from Australia, United States, Turkey, Dubai, Belgium, and also Netherlands use the package or used a small part of the package to improve their businesses. R is a good programming language, but which is also not answering the implementation needs or the to the advanced needs of the companies. And last month I had some free time and I actually decided to convert credit R into Python.
Yeah, I love to hear that. It's just sort of a whim in a month is all it takes if you've got the skills to do such a big piece of work. So set the scene there. What is credit pi? What all is included in there?
Actually, the credit pi is including some functionalities regarding to develop credit risk scorecard, a PD model, basic data analysis, and it checks the informative variables in an automated way to determine which futures is going to be passed to the predictive model. It also generates an automated model framework that is actually searching for the best predictive model across the different future sets that potentially can be used during the model development. And after this step, there are actually many functions that has been defined to create the rating scale. And also after creating the rating scale, it offers to do some validation like univariate Gini check, information value check, basic multicollinearity checks, stability checks on the futures to see if there will be any drift on the predictions on the out-of-sample set. It applies a basic weight of evidence transformation on the data. And finally, it allows the user to validate the created rating scale, predictive power of the model, and the calibration. So I actually defined a regression calibration and also a Bayesian calibration methodology in the package that is actually doing this tasks in an automated way.
It sounds like everything somebody needs to do model building, but I don't need to create multiple models, multiple projects, and then see which model is the best for my needs. This can all be run in parallel so I can pick the most suitable model for my needs in any one situation.
The credit pi has a functionality like that, but it uses basically the logit models at the backend. And after developing the credit pi, I also decided to develop the credit pi pro version, which will actually include the many sophisticated methods to determine the best predictive model in an automated way, like neural networks, XGBoost models, naive bayes models, or a combination of XGBoost and neural network. And I think in the pro version, I will be focusing on adding much more advanced functionality, especially also focusing the machine learning and the deep learning side of practice.
Yeah, well, I want to talk to you a little bit about deep learning and machine learning now. But first, this is one of those things I think people can best understand hands-on. You say it's on GitHub. If somebody's listening now and already wants to have a look at CreditPi, where can they go to see it and to maybe experience some of that functionality?
I edit an example data set in the Python library, and also I edit a function that is calling that CSV file. A user can directly check the GitHub link to see the example application of the credit pie.
Excellent. So I'll put those links in the show notes as well. So anybody listening who is on that technical side can jump straight over and see that at work. But yeah, let's come back to the broader concept there of machine learning and AI. Obviously, two hot topics at the moment. In some situations, overestimated. In some situations, underestimated. But what is the reality of machine learning and artificial intelligence applications in credit risk today?
According to my experience, these applications is already came to the area. For example, most of the fintech companies are using the machine learning, which actually gives a very strong advantage to the companies in terms of the predictive power. Because it was also my experience that I recognized during my master's, where I was comparing the classical model development methodology with the machine learning and deep learning methodology. I recognized that a minimum 10% more predictive power can be taken from the machine learning applications, which can be really crucial advantage for a financial institution.
Yeah.
And also ECB has recently published a discussion paper on machine learning applications on the IRB methodologies. And I think in the future, we will be discussing on how to embed these type of models and also generative AI parts to the industry.
And if we think about it from the practitioner point of view, you know, somebody who's grown up building traditional credit scorecards knows structured credit data from the bureau or application form or the bank's databases. We're now in a world where there's a whole lot more data available of all sorts of different types. Talk to me a little bit about how, if you were going to be doing a machine learning or an AI model building program, the sort of data you're incorporating now might be different. Or I guess the same question from the other way around. If you've got data like social media data or geolocation data or gaming or psychometric data, how does having access to machine learning tools help you build a model with that in a way that an old-fashioned logistic regression wouldn't be able to?
That's a good question, actually. The classical approaches is not capable to handle, let's say, the thousands of different features. When you, let's say, try to add psychological questionnaires or social media network data or the gaming experience of a user to understand how the player is behaving, these type of sophisticated data sources with machine learning and deep learning models, I think we will be more capable to approach the different behavior of the customers to lend money in a smarter way. However, the problem is the market is currently using much less sophisticated methods.
And I guess this is also where Python comes into its own, because when we're moving away from having data extracted from our own internal databases to a world where we're gathering data from a million different sources, Python is the language that most people would be doing this sort of work in. So incorporating your credit models in that world seems to make a lot of sense today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If I was to use CreditPie, How does it work with the data flow? Do I load my data up and run it through CreditPi, or do I host CreditPi on my side? What does it look like from a sort of architecture point of view?
Actually, it's a PyPI package, so user can directly install it. Then user can define the data of another institution or working data, a study data. Then it can pass directly that data to CreditPi to experiment the functionalities.
Ian, you mentioned earlier a word that is in all the headlines today, generative AI. And, you know, when we see those headlines in the stories, we're normally talking about like text to image or text to video, something flashy that gets on the TV screens. But if it's not ready yet, how is it going to be working or able to help us in the world of credit modeling?
I think generative AI is going to be a major player on the data generation part, because the banks are currently facing with a data problem. People are not able to really reach to the most valuable data source that they can use in the predictive modeling part. And not yet, but probably in the future, it will also evolve. And the generative AI can help us to actually comment the information that we got from the client. Or we can ask generative AI, hey, we have a missing value in this data source. How do you fill those missing values? By giving all the other information that we have to generative AI, then we can expect it to really generate a well-designed data module for us to use it in the predictive modeling. Or beside that, let's assume there is a generative AI that is already trained with the psychological data, articles, books that we have. And we can ask it to make comments about the psychology of the customer. Then we can feed that comments into the machine learning model to make a prediction about how the customer is going to behave if we are going to lend the money to that customer. So I think the generative AI is really going to be crucial in 5 or 10 years.
Yeah, it's really interesting because obviously there are people working today with synthetic data where sometimes protect privacy of customers, sometimes just to bulk out the data they have available. There's some risks in that we know of in terms of, you know, being involved on both sides of the equation. But Gen AI would be great in that space, creating data when we need it and understand what a customer would do, because we've sort of got the affordability check in place now where we look like, do they have the money? But this is taking it a step further. Like, would it actually be beneficial to the customer, or are they likely to do something that would damage them even if they can afford it? It does bring out some concerns or some questions around regulation. You know, the EU is coming out with AI legislation. I was talking to someone recently in Singapore. The government's got a whole program there on AI and how they sort of sign off and approve of AI projects. It is a question in that space. What do you see as the push and pull at the moment in terms of regulating these new approaches to credit risk modeling?
Across the world, the regulatory authorities is mainly focusing on the explainability of the machine learning applications in the area, as they already got enough pain during the economical crisis. And the wrong decisions made during the crisis, I can understand their concerns on the machine learning part by accepting it directly a black box application on the decision making. However, within the last years, many developments has been made by the professionals working in the area that already developed, for example, Shapley values, or different graph methods that is allowing to user on how to make a decision via a machine learning in an open way. Of course, considering the statistical approach, it is not gonna be that much easy to understand how the machine learning is making a decision. But on that part also, regulatory authorities also, I think, started to understand that making a complex and a smarter decision, it is much harder to explain comparing to a statistical approach. So let's say if we are using 10 different features in a model, explaining it with a linear relation using just a logit probit function is really going to help us to understand why the decision is made. But if you imagine that it is going to give, let's say, 70% accuracy on the final product, versus if you get, let's say, the 90% with 1,000 features, that is not that much easy to explain.
Yeah,
I think the trade-off for the regulatory authorities is going to stay at that part.
You know, the history of AI models and machine learning models is now growing and growing, and their confidence is probably there and well-established now that it's not quite as scary as it was a few years ago to hear the terms. And as you said, you can prove it works. And I guess the more times we see it working in more different ways, the more confident we are. Ayad, you've covered a lot there. We did mention earlier, but just a reminder, if anybody's interested in CreditPi, where can they go to learn more about that and see it in action? And likewise, I found you on LinkedIn, but where is actually the best place for people to go to get in contact with you, be it about CreditPi or about credit modeling more broadly?
They can add me via LinkedIn, and also they can directly send an email. I already received some emails, which also made me feel excited to develop the CreditPi further.
Yeah, and I saw a great response when you launched it. I recently launched it. It is very recently launched, and great response so far. As you said, there's demo data there for people to play around with, so they really can jump right in there and get their hands dirty and see what's involved. You said CreditPi Pro on the way. Do you have any idea of the timings for that?
My plan is actually to produce the CreditPi Pro in 2 months. Actually, the AI module is already ready to set, but there are some small issues that I am fixing. And beside the AI module, I actually want to put also a broader model validation structure. And also I allow the modeler to use just basic functions to create an end-to-end credit risk decision model, including also the model deployment. In the last weeks, I mainly focused on making much more efficient deployment pipeline, and now it is capable to deploy the models below seconds, which is also a kind of an advantage for, let's say, fintechs, for example. If you are working in a very fast environment, then you really need to offer your money to customers in a very fast way.
Well, keep an eye out for that and announce it on the page as well when it goes live. And Ayan, you also have a number of interests outside of this in the sort of AI and analytics space. So what else are you doing?
I am working on my individual projects. One of them is artificial intelligence-based stock commodities and cryptocurrency trading. Beside that, I'm also working on developing an artificial intelligence-based lawyer assistant. And also with some of my colleagues, we are also thinking about moving into the healthcare analytics part to create some automated doctor assistants first, then afterwards focusing on some other original problems in the area.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fascinating world we're in now, and I think it's fascinating to hear you turn your attention to industries like the medical field, like the legal field, where traditionally those would be very different. But I guess by applying AI and analytics and understanding data, you're able to immediately make an impact there. So some fascinating projects on the way. Ayan, it's been really interesting for me, a reminder that I should refresh on the current tools that are out there and maybe finally learn some of that Python that a few courses keep trying to teach me. So thank you for making the time. And yeah, I look forward to seeing how this gets picked up and the benefit it's providing to listeners to the show. And also we'll keep an eye out for CreditPi Pro.
Thank you so much, Brendan. Actually, it was very nice to do the podcast with you. I really enjoyed it.
And thank you all for listening. Please do look for and follow the show on your favorite podcast platform and share the updates widely on LinkedIn, where lending nerds are found in our largest concentration. Plus, send me a connection request while you're there. This show is written and recorded by myself, Brendan LaGrange, in Brighton, England. Show music is by I Am Wake, and you can find show notes and written transcripts at www.howtolendmoneytostrangers.show. And I'll see you again next Thursday.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.